This was a request for bid number 2022-339 to be awarded to what used, what formerly was ID number 30, which now is being awarded to Fire Service Testing Company out of Apollo Beach, Florida. Current bid expires on 6/7/22. We're looking for a two-year award in an amount not to exceed $20,000.
Thank you, Chief. Questions for members of the committee? Questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Chief, has the department ever used a different code for these training, for the testing other than 35390?
I don't believe so. As far as long as I've been the assistant chief, it's been used the same fire service test and it's been the code we've used.
Okay. I'm looking at this this bid. And hold on 1 minute. How many custom questions will you have on this test?
Typically, we use, I would say, about a quarter of the testing material, so about 25 questions, but never more than a third. So that would be somewhere between 25 and 33 questions, with a typical about 25.
So there's 100 questions on the test?
There is, yes.
Okay, so 25 to 33 could be custom questions.
Correct.
And it states here in column or item 3, it says that $25 includes 10% custom questions drawn from jurisdiction specific materials. The $25, is that a charge per test or is that a flat fee of $25?
That's per question. So if we have 25 questions that are custom, they're giving us 10 for the flat, for the standard charge, and then the 15 questions additional would be $25 each.
15 questions additional.
Right, because the first 10 are included in the price of the test. That's the 10%.
And the section down below says, let's go to item 4. Item 4 says, in additional fees, $695, note 1. Note 1 says, if jurisdiction allows testing, et cetera, and allow the testing company to use same questions on test for other ranks and answers with the answers scrambled, the $695 charge will be waived. Is that something that you're going to be allowing?
We will not utilize that provision. So there is a provision in the bid asking for a price to use what we call unique questions, which means they have to create unique questions every time they do a custom question. But the argument from the testing company was actually valid. They said that actually reduces the effectiveness of the test because the best questions are given out and then they have to reach, further on, they have to then reach out to try to get not so great questions because they're unique. So their argument, we did talk to them back and forth, and we won't be utilizing the unique question feature, so we won't be incurring that charge.
So the $695 is not going to be factored in?
Correct.
Just the $25 for potentially 15 to 20 custom questions over the 10%?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you're asking for, I believe, yeah, you are, $20,000 for this testing. How did you come about $20,000. What did you use as a basis for coming up with the $20,000 request?
So we run 10 promotional exams over those two-year period. I calculated out the flat fee for the exam. I added $500 for custom questions to each price. I estimated the amount of eligible people to take that promotional exam. For each of those exams, there's a certain amount of firefighters that are eligible to take that exam in that rank. Added that number to the per student question, and then came up with a total. And if I add it all together, in total, it comes to about $19,088, somewhere in that range.
And in the past, has that been the same rationale for requesting the amounts that you've requested in the past for testing?
It has.
Same formulas?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been doing this?
I've been the assistant chief since for about 3 years now, so April of 2019.
And you're comfortable in saying that's always been the protocol for the process leading up to the request for this particular item?
Yeah, in reviewing the documentation from previous assistant chiefs, they use a similar formula to mine to try to anticipate the costs.
So, Chief, as you know, and some of my colleagues know, typically I dig into the numbers, and I have researched not only this item, other items that have come up before us that have, you know, requests made in the past for monies. And I have researched this particular item, 35390, going back to 2006. I have all those budget books going back to 2006. I kind of like keep them for souvenir, I guess. I don't know. The most that the department has ever used for testing since 2006, or 16 years, the most that has ever been spent is $9,550. And that was in 2020. There are other years where, as an example, in 2021, you budgeted $8,000 and you pretty much used it all. You used $7,663. To date, from 2021 to 2022, you had a budget of $12,000, and to date, as of today, you've used $7,494. And these are typically been two-year bids, as the chief recently pointed out to me, that since 2013, there have been five bids that the fire department has brought before this council. In 2016, there was no monies budgeted, but there was an expense of $7,393. Same thing occurred in 2014, nothing budgeted, but an expense of $6,699. In 2013, 12, and 11, this budget code didn't exist at all, which is why I asked if there had ever been a new budget code. This code didn't exist. It didn't show up in the financial documents from the city at all. So this brings me full circle to ask you, why are you asking this council for an approval of $20,000, which the most you've ever used, which was a little less than 2 years ago, is $9,550? Because you've been using the same formula, the same process leading up to these numbers. So how does it go from 2021, an $8,000 budget, to 2021-22, a $12,000 budget, where in 2021 you had 8,000 requested, you used 7,663, and in 21-22, your budget was 12, and you used 7,494. So that's the question. Why is it do you need $20,000 when the most you've ever spent is $9,550?
So the numbers that I give you and that we work out in the formula is a worst case scenario. So that's if every test goes off and every member that's eligible to take the test takes the test. That isn't always the case. There's many cases where we don't have a promotional exam because we don't have anybody eligible in that rank. There's many times where we get half the amount of people that are eligible that actually apply to take the exam. So the number that we give you, the $20,000, is my calculation of worst case scenario. With the current bargaining agreement that's in place with the union, that's what stipulates how we run the tests and how often and when. In the current CBA that we have, using our calculations, this would be the worst case scenario, the most that I would spend in a 2-year period. So if I spend $7,000 to $9,000 a year, over 2 years, we're spending, $14,000 to $18,000. The difference is probably the number of test takers and maybe a test or two that wasn't administered because there was nobody eligible to take the test.
So are you requesting spending authority up to $20,000?
That's correct.
Okay. So to be clear, if this is approved, spending authority up to $20,000 and you only spend $10,000, it's not like that remaining $10,000 is going to get rolled over into another line item. This is strictly spending authority up to.
Correct. This is spending authority, not budgetary line.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief, for those answers. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chairman. I'm all set.
Thank you so much, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Are there any questions on PCR 39-22 from members of the public? I do know that there was a constituent. Just please identify yourself, and then please direct all questions through the committee. Thank you.
It's Rob, 7. I had some similar questions. Let me ask the chair a couple of questions. Prior to this coming before the Finance Committee, Mr. Howe, were you able to research the line item? Is it typical that you research to see how much money has been spent in the previous year?
I'm looking at the budget before me, and that's what I went on. The bid request before me.
No, so I guess this is like a yes or no. When a bid comes before you, I'm just trying to get what the protocol is. Do you look and see what was spent in the previous year?
On this one, I did not, and I'll tell you why, because I know that all the chair people and the administrative people who work for the administration understand that there's a strict guideline on the spending of that budget.
Okay. So I'm assuming that you're familiar with the Munis report?
I am.
Can I give you a copy of the current Munis report? I have a question on it. Just like to give this to you as a courtesy so you can see this.
That's fine. Thank you.
You gave me one. And here's two copies of the Munis report.
Thanks. So if you look at the Munis report, when you look at the bid packet, it calls out that this is the line item 35390. Could you look at that line item 35390 and tell me what the current Munis report indicates it as?
Since you brought it up, I'm going to ask you to state what you want it to say.
Okay. So the current Munis report, as of last week, and item 390 indicates lease office space. It doesn't indicate fire promotional tests. I didn't know if anyone was aware of that.
I'm going to pause for a moment and refer to the solicitor. Not questioning on this. Is this allowed to be discussed considering that it's not on the agenda?
Well, it's the line item.
I'm asking my solicitor.
I haven't seen the document that was shared, but if the finance department or anybody else wants to confirm that it is what it purports to be, it is a related question to the item as to where the funds come from. So it is something that can be discussed as it relates to this particular bid.
Okay. And just for the record, I do have the two copies given to us to three members on the committee. And there we go.
I have a third one if you need it for the other member of the committee.
No, we're good.
Chief, is there anything you wanted to address on that? You know.
As far as I know, line 35390 in the city budget is fire service testing. What the Munis report says and how that, what column is reflecting.
What was the number? I apologize.
35390. It's fire service testing. That's what it is in the budget. And how Munis reflects that, what column he may be looking at that reflects a lease of facilities is beyond my scope.
So the reason I asked that, Mr. Chairman, is because the bid specifically states that the money will come from line item 35, which is the department 390. And the current Munis report, which I got through public records dated April 5th, calls out item 390 as lease for office space. So the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is obviously there's an error here somewhere. And to substantiate that error, if you look at the first page on line item 236, it calls out for the fire department supplies for the target range. I don't think the fire department is involved in the target range. And it also calls out in the very first line, line 105, salaries for crossing guards at $16,125,000. So the official Munis report has some serious errors in it. And this is the report that's distributed to the council members in which to seek their due diligence on line items to see how much is being expended. So this is an official city document that clearly has some problems associated with whether they're data input problems or some type of computer glitch. But tonight, the fire department has come before the city council to draw monies for fire testing services, fire promotional test out of item 35390, which states lease office space. So we can get to that later. You guys can discuss it. I'm sure it's some type of computer program. But the reason I'm bringing this to your attention is that this official city document has some major problems with it, both in input and in financial data. So the reason I ask that is, so if I was in your position as the finance chair on the finance council and things were coming before me for expenditures, I would use this report as Mr. Lattisaw said, to see what was expended last year, which was one of my questions. And I also look back all the way to 2010, and the amount of monies that have been allocated for this line item have never been expended. So I have serious doubts that this will be expended. And if you recall, we had that question, the same type of a question with the medical examinations, where we were given like $70,000 and it was never being used. So one of my questions was, since that $70,000 is not being used, why don't we do a transfer resolution for this money as opposed to allocating more monies, right? It's clear all the way back to 2010, those monies on that line item 335 were never used. Just transfer the money. Why do we have to pad another line item? That seems kind of foolish. But also, I'd just like to just go on the record. In view of the debacle that happened at the last meeting, where we actually found out historically that this has been a violation of the Rhode Island state laws,
Mr. Cody, yeah. we're speaking about the bid at hand, not last week's meeting.
Well, this is the same bid at hand. Well, same bid at hand.
We're speaking about the bid at hand today.
Right.
As it was presented by the administration, yep. Not last week's meeting.
And this is relevant. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's relevant.
Well, not the false accusations.
So what I did, and I think this is important for you to know, because I know I would want to know it if I was sitting in your position. So after the last meeting on April 5th, I took 4 minutes of my time and I Googled fire testing promotional services. Fire promotional tests, and a number of companies came up. And I clicked one of them and got the phone number for Fire Service Testing Company out of Lakeland, Florida. And I made a phone call. And I said, hey, did you guys answer an RFP for the city of Warwick for a fire promotional test? And the young lady, Adriana, said, oh, yes, we did. Here's the bid number, and here's how much we offered, $1,210. Okay, thank you very much. And I made two other phone calls to other companies that gave me the same information. But then, following up with due diligence because of what we had last week and some of the comments that were made, if you look on the piece of paper, the second sheet that I gave you, I just did a very quick online Secretary of State search of the company. When I did that, I found out that the name of the owner, we share the same last name with a very prominent Warwick Fire Department family. So if I was on the council, having known that we just found out that what we were doing was illegal under state law, I would want to do everything I could to make sure that I wasn't jeopardized in a conflict of interest. Now, I'm hoping that that is just a coincidence, but the name's not Smith or Jones. But I would suggest that the council, based on this information, based on the debacle of last week, which has really compromised everything, I think that you should just look into it. Because we cannot keep doing business like this. I mean, this is a black eye on everybody. And I know nobody wants to see that, but over this period of time, we've had how many council members, how many lawyers on the council, how many council solicitors, and nobody knew that we were procuring bids in direct violation of Rhode Island state law on municipal bid procurement. And nobody knew that we were violating the Warwick City Charter. Nobody knew that. But then when it's brought to your attention, the individual that brings it to your attention to try to be helpful gets vilified, you know, in the newspapers. So I would suggest that for the purposes to ensure that there's no conflict of interest, as a courtesy, I've come and I've given you some documentation, which is readily available online, that I found within 3 minutes. I would just do a little quick search. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Questions? Oh, excuse me. Oh, I apologize. Members of the public, any other further questions from members of the public?
I'm not sure that you can imagine what it feels like to hear this kind of stuff week after week. And
oh, may you identify, I apologize, identify yourself, please.
Cindy Wilson.
Thank you.
So the look of, you're the head of the committee, the look on your face when something comes up that you don't like is just horrifying as a citizen to watch, because you're so clearly annoyed with the truth.
Well, first,
it wasn't
ma'am,
fake what he said, it was true, and he proved it.
Ma'am?
Yeah, here we go, here we go. You hate what I'm saying, so go ahead, shut me up. That's all
ma'am,
you do. You know what? You are actually pathetic.
Ma'am?
Don't ma'am me. Just shut up.
Thank you, ma'am. Very good. Otherwise, chairman, thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the public? Thank you. May I have a motion?
I'd move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
How do you do that?
Aye.
That concludes the Finance Committee for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The next committee to meet is the Ordinance Committee.
I'm sorry.
And that is able to take place now.
Thank you.
So ordinance will convene at 6:19 p.m. We have acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on April 4th, 2022. Do we have a motion? Oh, good point. Well, second then. Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And one abstention. Next, we have PCO 8-22, an ordinance to prohibit parking on the northerly side of Narragansett Bay Avenue, west of Crawford Avenue. This is Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So there is a police study, traffic study, accompanying this PCO. This is an issue that kind of goes in line with many of the other, I'll call illegal no parking signs throughout the city that the mayor and his administration are working hard to get corrected. This was brought to my attention, and that's what prompted the traffic study. So there's no typical, right now there is no parking signs on both sides of the street. This area is in a public access area, which is, it's not being used extensively, but it is being used by some locals and possibly some folks from outside the city of Warwick or outside of my ward. The issue at hand here for me is not wanting to restrict or eliminate the public's ability to access public access areas. And what we're doing here is putting no parking signs on the north side of Narragansett Bay Avenue. That is where the residential properties are located. There is from Crawford to the end of Narragansett Bay Avenue, I think it's two or three houses. There's some driveways on that side, which you can't park in front of or across from anyways. Leaving the south side access to X number of cars, I don't know the exact number, it could be four or five cars perhaps, that would still have parking available to them and also allow folks to be able to take advantage of that public access. So I think this is in fairness to all involved, certainly makes sense to me, and I would respectfully request favorable action. Thank you.
All right, so this is supported by a traffic study. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That appears to conclude ordinance committee at 6:22 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Intergovernmental Committee. And just for the members of the audience, there is a sign-up sheet on the podium at the beginning of the regular council meeting at 7 p.m. We do have public comment. So if you'd like to make public comment, you can just sign up on the sheet on the podium. Thank you.
It is now 6:25, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session.
So I move favorable action on the minutes from the April 4th, 2022 meeting.
Second.
You can just do the vote thingy, and I can vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I abstain. The first order of business is PCR 158-21, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to establish new elected... I believe this was spoken about in length. At the last meeting. Are there any questions from the committee?
Just more of a statement than a question. So at the last meeting, I proposed the amendment to make it 4 years for the council members as far as the term. The motion failed on a 4-4 vote. I don't want to reintroduce it if it's just going to waste time. So if you'd be in favor of it, given that you were the one lone absent member, feel free to either state so or introduce the amendment. Otherwise, I'll just leave it lie.
No, my feeling is to keep it as I originally introduced it. 2-year terms for council members.
Works for me.
Any other questions from the council? Mr. Ricks?
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to reiterate all of my comments from the last meeting, although I didn't quite have an opportunity to finish those comments. But I suppose just to summarize those previous comments, I see this as, well, in certain parts, there are quite a few items that this resolution intends to accomplish, various changes it intends to make. I take issue with the legislative term limits in that they negatively affect the ability of this body to have institutional knowledge. There are also concerns that I have that really, we already have term limits. We are up for re-election every 2 years, and the people decide whether or not they want us to continue to represent them. For those same reasons, depriving the people of a choice as to whom they have on the ballot is really a matter of taking power away from the people and diminishing the power of the legislative body. I don't know how we could have accomplished through the city council what we have in recent years without being able to learn from the wisdom of members of this body who have served for quite a long period of time, whether that be members that I started with and many of us started with, including Joe Solomon, Steve Marola, Joe Gallucci, and Donna Travis, who is currently serving on the city council. I think that we're all better off from learning from the experience that they've brought. But I want to focus my comments right now on my concerns about the 2-year and 4-year formulas. If we take a look at Congress and the United States Constitution, there was math. There was a lot of thought behind why is it that the House of Representatives has 2-year terms, presidency has 4-year terms, and Senate has 6-year terms. Well, I think that we need to put a lot of thought and consideration into why is it that currently the city council terms of 2 years match the mayor's term of 2 years. Well, first concern that I have really boils down to changing this formula is a recipe to increase the risk of corruption. The state code of ethics has a one-year ban called the revolving door. So what that means is that a member of this city council, during our terms in office, we can't be seeking employment with the city, and also we can't be seeking or taking employment with the city for a one-year period after we finish serving our terms. Now, I don't think that any member of this council, I don't think that our mayor, I don't think that anyone elected has any bad intentions, certainly no bad intentions in the introduction of this resolution. Absolutely not. I have no concern about that. But this is something that changes the city charter and affects us going forward forever into the future until the city charter is changed again, which happens very rarely and should happen very rarely. This ethical concern arises in that when we have a new formula for how long the terms are for members of the city council and how long the term is for the mayor, we're walking into a situation where if there's an election and that council person, for instance, knows that they are term limited or otherwise they don't intend to run for another term, there can arise a temptation for both that member of the council and for the executive to make a corrupt bargain in which a job is promised in exchange for patronage or for otherwise voting however the executive wants that person to vote. I'm not suggesting that anything of that sort is happening right now. Absolutely not. But the reason why we have preventative laws on the books, such as the one-year revolving door as part of the state code of ethics, is because it's warranted to have preventative measures to prevent that kind of risk from occurring or discourage that kind of activity. When you have a four-year mayoral term, two-year council term, as opposed to terms that match up, now that risk is being increased. Because if some sort of deal were to be struck, and again, I'm talking in the future, because this is a change that's proposed to happen in the future, and I'm talking about folks who are not among us here, and I'm certainly not talking about the current administration, but this is a matter of laying out the rules, laying out what is in our city charter that will govern us for decades and decades in the future. And so when you don't have the terms that match up, you have a situation where under the city charter, you have the mayor continuing the term for 2 years past the end of that city council member's term, leaving a full year for the executive to appoint that outgoing member to a position. Of course, making any kind of deal like that, obviously that would be illegal, but we have preventative measures in place, such as the one-year revolving door, in order to prevent exactly that. Unless the revolving door is changed to 2 years, and by the way, I don't think that Warwick actually has, and someone please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe that Warwick itself has a separate code of ethics of this nature that is binding as to the same effect as the state code of ethics. But unless we're going to now change the state code of ethics to have a 2-year revolving door, then we have that particular conflict of interest, that particular type of corruption, where that risk is going to be increased. So for those reasons, whether it's 2-year terms for council and 2-year terms for mayor, or 4-year terms for council and 4-year terms for mayor, it's really not something that I have a heavy preference on, whether the terms for each be 2 years or 4 years. But as a matter of avoiding issues of potential incentives for corruption that don't exist right now, I feel strongly that the terms of the council and the mayor should match up, whether that be 2 years or 4 years. I've already spoken previously on my thoughts on legislative term limits, so I won't keep you further on that, but would focus on the need for those terms, whether they be 2 years or 4 years, to match up. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm not going to repeat everything I said at the last meeting regarding this. I do support changing the charter for the term limits for the mayor from what it is currently to 2 consecutive 4-year terms. I also feel, for all the reasons that I've expressed at the previous meeting, changing the city council from a 2-year cycle to a 4-year cycle with 3 cycles limits for a total of 12 years. If this body is of the mindset to continue with the 2 years, I would make a suggestion that we increase it to from a 10-year term to a 12-year term. And again, for the all the reasons that I stated before. So that's where I am on it, Chairman, members of the committee. My preference would be to change the city council term from 2 years to 4 years with 3 4-year terms. If that's not what the body is in the mindset to do, then I would respectfully suggest we extend out the 10-year to 12 years. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from the council? Vinny?
Gebhardt, Councilman Gebhardt. So I, as I expressed before, I'm in favor of the 2-year term. So I'm glad to see that that's where we're at. I think the length, I'm okay with the 5 terms. 6 I'd be amenable to, but I think as it stands is good. The one question that I have, and maybe the sponsor or members of the committee who have thought through this more might have comment on it, but is there any need to, with making this change, to segment or to have members phase off at different times, so that you don't have one period or one cycle where everyone would be up, given that we're starting this at the same time? Or do you not feel that that's a concern? That's just the one thing that struck me, right? So if we, you know, send this to the ballot, it passes, all of us, you know, theoretically in 5 terms from now could phase off. And you know, to some of the comments that have been made before, I mean, there's certainly institutional knowledge and longevity that are beneficial to the entire body. So I don't think you'd want I think most wouldn't want a brand new council to come in 10 years completely fresh. So just something I was considering and wondered if you had any thoughts about.
I really don't think that is a concern. First of all, if this passes, it won't go into effect for another 2 years. And then 10 years after that would give you 12 years. And I don't think you're going to have everyone on the council stay in for the 12 years so that they would all be forced out at the same time. But saying that, I definitely want to keep it as a two-year term, but I would be open to changing it to six two-year terms for a total of 12 years.
I forget who introduced that, but can someone run back the logic on why to go to six terms? Chair.
So I know my preference would be to do any amendments after we move it to the council floor, but to each their own.
Okay. Any questions from the public?
I have one. Councilman?
Oh, 1 second. Councilwoman Travis?
I just wanted to my last 2 cents. And basically, I don't want to repeat everything I said last time. I've been here the longest, and I got here by every 2 years. And I'm not saying that we can't change it, but I think it is good to we can put limitations if you want. But don't forget, the people in your ward is the one who's voting for you. It's not all nine of us together. The people in our ward is the ones that are voting for us to put us in our seats. Okay, and 10 years ago, I got hit with a sciatic nerve that I could not walk at all. So when a campaign time came, I wasn't going door to door, but I still worked for those people very hard, and I made sure I made my contacts with them through, campaigning, but I did not see them face to face, every one of them. And I still got elected because I did my work. And I think if you represent the people come back out for you. So the term limits, yeah, they're important. But you got to know, just as long as you're doing your work for your people, you don't have to worry about what the other wards are doing. You got to worry about your ward, because they're the ones that care to get their work done. It's not that they want to see your face every other year or every 2 years. They want to make sure you're doing what they want you to do. They want you to do the potholes in their streets. They want to make sure if they got a problem with the garbage, you're doing it. That's all I'm saying. If it's 2 years for six conservative, I think that's a good idea too. But I mean, the 4 years for the mayor, same thing, whatever. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any questions from the public?
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So here you have the classic example of the solution looking for the problem. All this benefits, this legislation benefits you people, not us. Benefit the general public in any way, shape, or form. Why do you want to try to fix something that's not broken? All this does is it eliminates 50% of the amount of time that an individual has to place a vote. And it seems to me that this council is dead set on sequestering races. We've seen it in the finance committee meetings. We're seeing it where the people say for 4 years. Is that what you want to do? It's called stagnation, and we can see that stagnation in this city council and councils prior to this. So now, have any of you guys given any thought that when you have a mayor that's for 4 years, the impact that has on contracts? Has anybody thought about that? Has anybody thought about the fact that if the mayor or any of you council members run amok during that 4 years, that we don't have the ability to voice our opinions to get you out? I want somebody on this committee to tell me, what benefit does any member of the general public get from increasing these limits and changing the city, changing portions of the city charter? I would think that if you drove around this city, you'd find enough of problems that you really should be addressing as opposed to this. I mean, this is ridiculous. I'm a firm believer of term limits, and it's called the ballot box, voting at the ballot box. Mrs. Travis has been here for 20 years. You know why she's been here for 20 years? Because every 2 years, her constituents go and they cast their vote for her. And if they don't want her, she's gone. She doesn't need term limits. Nobody does. The mayor doesn't need term limits.
that does not benefit the people of the city at all. And I find it interesting in the terms that you're throwing out come down to a point where he's at the 10-year mark and now they're going to get a pension. I defy anybody on this council to tell me what benefit that the general public has. And I don't want to hear, oh, it'll save us money because we won't have to have an election every 2 years. This city blows money like it's free. And now we want to do this. Let's limit the people's voices even more, right? So what do we have? Once a month, the entire city council, because of your generosity, has 15 minutes to split at an open mic, of which everyone hides behind Rule 41, that we can't answer anything. We have to listen to you while most people are on their phones or doing whatever. Once every 2 years, we get to vote, and once a year, we can come and ask questions on the city budget. And you've even tried to change that where probably should fix the place, you know, term limits, for God's sakes. So once a year at the budget hearings, we can come, and we used to be able to speak about each line item. Now we can't. You only got 10 minutes to talk about everything in the budget. So my question is, how much more will you people be happy with by limiting the voices of the general public? Maybe we should just shut up. Maybe what would be a good idea, you have a sergeant of arms with duct tape and duct tape us all so we can't talk, because that's where this is going. This is ridiculous. And let me tell you, any council member that votes in favor of changing these term limits, wait till you see the bulldog that comes at you. And that bulldog's name is Rob Carty.
Any other questions from the public? Comments? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
So, bearing in mind what I said at the last meeting, where term limits would have helped prevent the damage it'll take generations to undo to the city, move favorable action.
Second.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, could you please clarify what it is you're voting on?
Oh, actually, so yeah. Move to just go to the floor without a recommendation, because what we said before about we can do the amendments on the floor. Sorry, thank you.
Okay, have a motion to move it to the floor without a motion, without a recommendation.
Second.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second order of business is PCR 41-22, resolution to the General Assembly supporting the installation of a Luso Americans Veterans Monument at the Rhode Island Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very simply put, there's representation of many different backgrounds of people who serve, not just identifying, I know that for me, there's an infantry, those who served under the infantry banner, they're recognized with the monument. I know that there's quite a few monuments around that solemn ground where we offer our veterans to rest. There is not one for the Portuguese American veterans, and this is just us as a city encouraging and acknowledging that they are diligently working to put a monument and erect a monument, raise the money for a monument so that they can install one identifying the Portuguese Americans who are who have served. I was reached out by a council member in East Providence, and then a lifelong friend of mine, Father Victor Silva, he reached out and asked if I wouldn't mind sponsoring it, and I was happy to do it. So I do respectfully request favorable action. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council?
I have a question, sir.
Council President.
If the author of the bill, if I would like to be added as a co-sponsor, if allowed.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilman. Chairman, thank you.
Yeah. Make everyone.
Okay. Thank you all who offered to co-sponsor. Gladly accepted and appreciated.
Do I hear a motion? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Third is PCR 42-22, resolution to the General Assembly requesting additional FY 2023 state budget appropriations for libraries. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was contacted by the director of the library and a number of board members of our library asking us to support additional funding for the libraries through the state. Our libraries do a number of different things. It's not just go in and rent the book anymore. They do programming for continuing education. They do programming for children, meeting places. It's really a community resource, and I ask for your support this evening.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
That concludes the Intergovernmental Committee at 6:52.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That is the last committee this evening. So we will return here at 7 o'clock for the start of the full city council meeting. So we will see you at 7 o'clock. Oh, and I also want to make one more announcement. We do have public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and there is a sign-up sheet on the podium. So if you would like to speak, please sign up at the podium.